Imagine you are Jesus. The crowds are yielding to your authority, spreading their tattered cloaks on the ground for your entrance, praising you for your great healings, feedings, and miracles. Nervously, you ride in on a lowly, borrowed donkey, just as the prophet Zechariah foretold centuries earlier. You understand the events that are about to unfold and have embraced your destiny as unlikely savior, whose leadership looks different from that of all other kings and authorities, whose moment of glory is not without paradox and irony. Imagine that you are one in the crowd. You were amazed by Jesus and caught up in the excitement. Jesus signals hope and change from the oppressive Roman rule. You are poor, lacking voice and influence, and Jesus offers a new vision for those like you who were not important or powerful. You have heard about how Jesus has fed thousands, welcomed sinners, and cured the sick. And you believe he possesses a direct connection with God. This carpenter from Nazareth demonstrates mercy and grace, and you want in on the action. Imagine that you are a Pharisee or a scribe, one of the elite Jewish leadership. The crowd's frenzied response worries you. People are behaving uncontrollably and unpredictably, and you attempt to check their response. Jesus, however, subverts your instruction to manage his disciples, and you increasingly realize that if Jesus catches the eye of the Roman authorities, he risks placing your religion under greater scrutiny. You want to protect your rights and power, and to do so, you must find a way to silence Jesus. A short while later, you are in a very different mental, emotional, and spiritual state. If you are Jesus, you feel utterly alone. You pray that your Father God will redeem your crucifixion, that God is not finished with you, that somehow it will all turn out all right. But you do not know. Although terrified, you remain outwardly calm because you recognize that your mother and your disciples are as frightened as you are, and you do not want to upset them further. If you are Jesus's mother, you feel angry. Why did God turn your life upside down with the gift of this incredible man and promise of him great things only to take him away? How can you trust God again? If you are a disciple, you wonder what is next. Your teacher and your friend is leaving you, and you miss him. You believe in his message, but do not know if you are strong enough, or wise enough, or holy enough to move forward without Jesus. You watch the trial and arrest, but do nothing. If you are one of the few in leadership, whether Pilate or Herod or a Pharisee, you are relieved, if conflicted. You soon will have removed your problem, and all will return to normal again. You try not to think too hard about how you helped affect Jesus' death and distract yourself, ignoring the gnawing feeling in the pit of your stomach and the nightmares that come every time you sleep. If you are one of the many in the crowd who cheered Jesus earlier, your sights are already set on the next person who will offer you prosperity. Your hero is gone, and you want to be on the side of the winners. You may decide to join the others who mock Jesus, so you will have insider information about what is sure to be next week's gossip. This cast of characters and plot line defines Jesus' first community and every community that followed, and defines us still. Each year, we step into this narrative, even going so far as to wave palm branches and say the same words as that initial crowd, because these events make our faith. Our faith is more a story than a set of beliefs or rules or prescriptions, calling us to enter and live into its fullness. And each year, doing so looks a little different. Maybe this year you are Jesus's mother, questioning God's wisdom and power and even existence. Or maybe you are a Pharisee or Pilate, coming to grips with your own hypocrisy, but scared to discover what living authentically might do to your career and reputation. Maybe, like the crowd, you desperately search for that thing which will provide happiness, yet are never satisfied, always drifting towards the next shiny object that catches your attention. Wherever we find ourselves in this drama, our faith can take it, for God has already endured every wandering, every regret, every doubt, every fear. The events of Holy Week, the procession, the Last Supper, the trial and crucifixion, Jesus' death, bear not only tremendous historical, but also visceral and spiritual weight. This is a week that calls us to feel, to wrestle with those darker parts of ourselves, to go way down deep. Imagination has much more to it than unicorns and flying magic carpets. It is not so much about taking us to another world as it is calling us truly to engage this one. Let's go ahead. Let's imagine ourselves into this story and see what we discover about our God and ourselves. Amen.